Blog Talk Radio.
All right, well, carry. Took a while. All right, welcome to another episode of The Grueling Truth. I'm your host, Mike Goodpaster. And with me once again is my co-host, Matt Andrew Scavage. How you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm great. Excited about the show.
And we have not just a special guest tonight, but we have the man who runs the Red Light Sports Network, Troy Otradovich. How you doing tonight, Troy?
Doing great, buddy. You know, I got to check up on my host every once in a while. I got to make sure you're doing your job. Got to make sure you're doing it right.
Oh, you had somebody you wanted to talk to tonight. I never hear from you anymore.
What are you talking about? You call me every day, and you bother my wonderfully lazy day. You know, you always call when I'm taking a nap. You know, I'm never doing anything. That's what people say. I don't do anything. So I'm glad that you called me. Yeah, I know you call and wake me up from my afternoon nap because I don't do anything all day. But
every time I call you, you answer. I'm really starting to believe that you really do nothing all day. I don't think you're being sarcastic, but
yeah,
we got a great show tonight. We've got a great show tonight. We've got former Minnesota Viking, two-time Pro Bowler Todd Stussy. How you doing tonight, Todd?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. I got a hold of Todd about a week ago on Twitter. We talked a little bit. I asked him to go on the show. He said he had an app that he wanted to promote for the NFL draft, which, from talking to him, the app is really impressive. I mean, the thing that really impressed me about Todd was that after the NFL, he finished his BA at Cal Berkeley, which is not easy to go back to school and finish your degree. On top of that, he got an MBA from Northwestern. Todd is also the co-founder and executive vice president of Potentia Metrics and the president of its sports analytics subsidiary, Potentia Pro. So, Todd, you want to come in and just go ahead and explain a little bit about your draft app?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks again for having me. And I wound up, first of all, it's an exciting time in the sports analytics industry. I just got done going to the MIT Sports Analytics Conference in Boston. It's the premier event for sports analytics. You have basically all the major leagues are there. You see guys walking around with name tags with the San Antonio Spurs to the Green Bay Packers to the Dallas Cowboys. Saw some familiar faces there, and it's a great networking opportunity, but also get a really good chance to see where the market's going. And anyways, like you said, I founded Potentia Metrics about a year ago. We've basically sown our oats in the healthcare analytics fields. We have a number of sophisticated tools around optimizing outcomes for patients and actually cancer and cardiac. So it's some significant stuff. But one of the reasons that we are applying ourselves in the sports industry is, one, because the data is really robust, and two, of the domain expertise that we have with myself and a few other key members that are going to be involved in the development process. And so the first step for us, we wanted to get our name out there, and there's no bigger market really at this time of the year than the NFL draft. Last year in 2014, there was a little bit more than 45 million people that watched the NFL draft. There was, I'm looking at the stat sheet now, there was almost 10 million tweets during the draft, and each day 10 million people saw those tweets. And so there's a huge environment that is around the NFL draft that's not just in New York or this year in Chicago. And we really thought it was a great opportunity to kind of announce ourselves as a company, be able to get our name out there, and to start to show people some really cool things that we're working on. So, one, first of all, NFL draft, very much a participatory activity in that people are engaged because that's their team. They're following the Packers or the Colts or whatever team it might be. They're interested. It's their first step into the next season. There's a lot of optimism, but there's also a lot of, like, frankly, some guy out of Appalachian State that no one's ever heard of, gets picked up in the second round. Who is he? How can I find out more about him? And rather than have him be spoon-fed by the talking heads on the TV, we really thought take the innovation that's going on in the world right now around analytics and allow the individual, the fan, to be able to control the app, to make the decisions, to be able to analyze the picks like a scout would, like someone with all the information that's on the inside. So Scout Sight is the name of the app. That's SIGHT, like your vision. And it's all about empowering fans to be able to access information that used to be locked away in some NFL front office. So what we bring is similar to what we do in healthcare. It leverages the power of comparative analytics. So the whole idea is to be able to frame a guy that you haven't heard of before from Appalachian State by comparing them to people that you have heard of before. So our unique algorithms map out guys, prospects, to players that are already in the NFL that you've heard of, that you've been following for a number of years, and being able to map those guys out to, similar to if anyone's watched the Combine this last year, it does something similar. We have some things that winds up pulling in not just the Combine data, but a number of different data sets. And it does it in a way that I think is going to give the fans a more sophisticated means of being able to look at the information and come to their own decisions. So the whole thing about the app is it's not going to be a one-time touch point. Our app is going to continue to offer capabilities to the NFL fan to not just be able to do their own research during the draft day, but to be able to use that tool to decide to look at possible free agent acquisitions, because we're going to have all the players in the system, not just the guys that are on the top rounds of the draft, and all the way down to the rookie free agents that are getting picked up by teams after the draft. Usually about 15 players on every team want to get picked up or 15 rookie free agents are picked up per team. So we are going to have a platform that's going to be able to measure all those guys, not just some of them. And then you'll be able to continue to use this app all the way into the preseason as you're scouting guys out and getting ready for your fantasy team. And finally, we're going to, our first foray in a paid app, because what I've talked to you about so far is a free app. It's we're using it as a branding tool and chance to introduce ourselves. There's going to be a freemium app around our fantasy football space, optimizing fantasy football decisions, that will be rolled out in the fall. And this app is going to be tied directly to it. So basically, some of your research due diligence that you've done in the draft, after the draft, can be rolled right up into the next app, so that you'll be able to carry over some of your scout books and be able to use that information for future decisions.
Yeah. When is the app going to be out for draft?
It is tentatively scheduled for the first week of April. So it's going to have a couple weeks where fans will be able to interact with the app prior to the draft. And then obviously end of April is the beginning of the draft. So it's still in the development period. We're testing it. We're going through. One of the things that just doesn't really come across in a conversation like this is the team that we have is really building a very sophisticated, very cool app. It's going to be on the iTunes store, so it's an Apple-enabled app. It's very it utilizes all the technology for the guys that have the iPhone 6, iPhone 5, some of the swipe capabilities. It's very intuitive. I think people that that have a that have used the Apple iPhone will be able to use it and pick it up immediately and know exactly what they're doing. Unfortunately, due to development constraints, we're not doing the Android platform this year, but we do plan on carrying this app over into the following year, and at that point, there probably will be an Android platform as well.
Well, you're killing me there. I don't have an iPhone. Only my son does, so All the money gets spent on my kids.
Yeah, no, it's tough. You get a $50 Android phone, and he gets a $300 iPhone.
Exactly.
Sounds like my house.
That's how it goes. Actually, it was a $76 Android phone, Todd. So, but where can we get information? Do you have a website or anything like that?
Yeah. No, there's a landing page right now where if you go to www.scoutsite, that's scoutsight.com, you can drop your email in there and we will reach out to you as soon as the app goes live, and you'll be able to pick it right up off the iTunes store and start playing with it day one. And it's not a freemium. There's no paid for content whatsoever on the Scout Site app. You're not going to get gouged in the future. It's purely a chance for us to introduce ourselves to be able to start to build a following. And I'm convinced that it's going to be a very successful launch.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a lot better to sit there watching Mel Kiper. Like I said, I explain it to my friends. Like when you're sitting there and you're watching, and if you're a Jets fan and they pick somebody from Appalachian State in the fifth round, you got to run to your computer. You got to do all these searches to find out anything about it, where with your app, all you got to do is get in, push the guy's name, and you've got all his information.
Yeah, let's do a quick use case. So Mel Kiper brings up three wide receivers, and he's talking about which one is the New York Jets going to draft in the second round. There's three guys, and you maybe know one of them, but the other two are kind of a little bit more obscure. Scout Site is going to allow you very quickly to you can either filter by like position, so it'll show all the wide receivers that are remaining on the board. You'll be able to pull them into a notebook, and then very quickly, just by swiping your finger, 1, 2, 3, or you can search them by name. You can then wind up isolating and comparing those three people side by side to each other, looking at their stats for the last couple seasons, who did what, when, how much, and then use the same similarity algorithms that we built to be able to project forward and show what these guys are going to look like in their once they get to the NFL. So who do these guys compare to most to give a kind of a matchup of this guy based on his stats and some of his measurables compared to these five guys? And because it's right now, I mean, not even the NFL front office of the Ravens, the 49ers, whatever, have perfect information. They can't to 100% certainty anyone's going to do anything. But what we do have the ability to is show what are the different possible outcomes that map out to a guy like this with these measurables. And so you can see a couple examples that map out and give a better sense of the range of possibilities this guy might perform at based on a really multi-layered approach to college stats, combine stats, measurables, et cetera, that basically allow us to be able to measure them with some of the same information that NFL teams use to map out a player's expectations.
Yeah. All right, Troy, Matt, either one of you got a question?
The app itself, as far as when you see all of the stats you're looking for and like you said, all of the measurables, are there any kind of capabilities to see any game footage or coaches' footage or something of any kind, or even or a link?
No, we thought about that, and because I mean that is a cool capability as far as conceptually. The one difficulty is because this is a mobile app, we wanted to supplement the experience that users are already going to be getting on the TV. Where is it better to watch actual game footage? On the ESPN or NFL Network, on your big screen in front of you, or on your iPhone? It's not really a great visual experience to be able to pull up highlights. And also, statistically speaking, the highlights really don't tell you very much when you wind up. It's basically a small sample if you wind up looking at three plays, does that really help you predict what this person is going to be doing next year? It's a cool feature that we might include at a later date, but I really think that we'd have to probably get to a desktop version before I would really think that that would be a valuable insight.
That makes sense. I mean, I agree. You're not really getting a lot from just a few plays, but all in all, I can't wait to try this thing.
Yeah, no, and once again, this is really the whole second device phenomenon where people are actively tweeting and on their phone searching, looking up information as they're engaged in an activity, whether it be a game or the draft or the combine, is really taking a momentum. People really, their phone's just a natural extension of them, and when they see something on TV and they want to be able to find out more about it, they go to the internet. Oh, I think we've built an app that's going to be a quicker and better form of information that's going to be able to then do some analytics on top of it that you won't be able to get from the internet. So quickly we'll be able to pull up the information for you, give you what you're looking for, but then also we can wind up doing more, bringing additional insights based on our unique algorithms.
Hey, Todd, this is Troy. And when I look at this, this is awesome because what you guys are all mentioning, got to go to my computer, got to pull it up, got to watch TV, got to hit rewind, got to do all these things. I love this. Looking forward to the future, when you look past this year's draft and you look at the app itself, when will you start then updating it for the 2016 draft? Is there going to be capabilities already in the college football season for us to all of us to start looking at players that are currently playing in 2015 for 2016, or haven't you got that far yet for the app?
Yeah, no, I mean, we have a license to have to utilize the college data. If there is a right now, we don't plan on doing real-time updates to the information, but if there's a response from our users that we're very much an experiential app. If there's a demand for it, we'll make it happen. It's not a huge additional expense to be able to keep the app live, and it just means creating the API to be able to automatically update the information. That's something that we could definitely look into. It is all the algorithms were built intentionally to. It's basically they're learning algorithms, so they basically take in the information, and the algorithms will adjust and update to optimize based on the 2015 draft picks, how they actually perform in their next year. So based on this draft class, the algorithms will be better at predicting what the 2016 draft class will be based on the information that it will be able to pull out of the actual outcomes of this new draft class. So it was never meant to be a standalone, one-time-only app. It's probably always going to remain free, but it will get more sophisticated, and we're going to bring in additional data, additional information. I'm really excited about the whole wave of data. I don't know if you guys have been aware that the NFL launched their next-gen stats this last summer. They announced it, and they wound up doing 19 games this last year, where basically at one point every NFL player wore two RFID tags on their shoulders. If people look at my Twitter feed at Todd Stussy, there's actually a few images of those RFID tags. They were underneath their shoulder pads. They stayed there the entire season on these guys, and they're basically measuring geospecific location information updated 25 times a second. They're capturing information on where every player is on the field, and we plan on bringing all that to bear when it comes to our next iterative or next evolution of products. We're going to be able to make better and better decisions utilizing better and better data, and we plan on being out in the front of that that next wave.
Anything else, Troy or Matt?
Well, you just blew me away with the next gen stats. Wow.
No, it's amazing.
That's amazing.
And they actually, one of the big gaps that they, so the one thing that they had markers, so you have two RFID tags, so they also can not just, it's what's called the three-dimensional Euclidean plane, and it's basically, think of three axes, so it's height, so they're measuring, like, or you can actually tell, are they bending their knees, are they jumping up in the air, what are they doing, which direction they're facing, and where they are on the field. And like I said, this is 25 times a second, but they're measuring that for all the players. They have that on the pylons. They have that on the yardage markers. The one thing that they didn't have was it was not included in the ball. And at the NFL Pro Bowl this year, they wind up putting an ID tag in the ball, a special ID tag that distributed the weight, and they had the players play with the or practice with it all week. And once they got the go-ahead with the players, they actually had the ball with the RFID tag in the game, in the live game, and it was very successful. I mean, it's able to take a lick and keep on ticking, basically. It was in the ball when it was being punted, kicked off, thrown, dived on, you name it, and it performed exceptionally well. And so it really is going to be an amazing tool. To one kind of use case that I tell people about that I think helps really kind of clarify what you can do with this data. Most people that have been around football long enough has heard a coach at one point or time talk about a defensive guy that's always got a nose for the ball. He's always there. He seems to be there always making a play when it matters, or he always seems to be in the frame of the camera. You always see this guy. Well, does that actually impact the – is he more effective? Does he is he – because he's closer to the ball every play, does that wind up making a difference on maybe he doesn't get a tackle, but because he redirects the running back, his buddy gets a tackle? Well, if we're able to measure in real time where these guys are on the field, where the ball is, where everyone's related to each other, we could actually quantify and create a metric around – what this linebacker is as far as distance to the ball at the end of a game, end of a play, versus the average linebacker or the average linebacker at that specific position, and be able to measure actually what the effect of a guy is and how much value there really is on a guy that's always around the ball. And so it's those kind of like historic kind of subjective comments that we'll be able to start measuring. That's pretty cool, in my opinion.
Well, the good thing is there, it gives the offensive and defensive linemen, especially the offensive line, a little bit what better way to grade who are the good ones and who aren't. Because, I mean, let's face it, there's no really way to grade that right now. Not as a fan
Absolutely.
Watching the game if you can't watch the All-22 film.
Yeah, no, and it's no, absolutely. I mean, and that's obviously another one. I mean, when you wind up having where basically 6 out of the 11 offensive guys are being measured and the other 5 are not, you wonder why some of the analytics have really not been that successful to date. When you're basically leaving half the guys off the table being measured in most systems, and even coaches, and I only had one coach, Mike Tice, my entire career that I actually – who actually graded in a system that was standardized so that there was actually, you know, I had like a score at the end of the day, and I could compare this game to the previous game and this game to the next game coming up, and I could compare it to my backup if I got hurt, or the right tackle or the left guard. And so measuring things on those kinds of positions, a lot of people assume that it's being done in a very sophisticated way in the locker room, in the coach's room. In a lot of cases, it's still not. It's still kind of you can't do an apples-to-apples comparison of one player's grade on the 49ers to the Vikings, they don't map out to each other. They're entirely different. But with metrics like these, you know what, we can actually do that. We'll be able to be able to, in a real and significant way, be able to measure things that will be able to be used in free agency and to maybe doing – I've always been curious, like the Pro Bowl. I mean, how much of it actually is a popularity contest for an offensive lineman who doesn't have any grades? Looking at the grades of an entire season, pretty difficult if you're doing it manually, but it, through an analytics platform, you could do that in really seconds once the algorithms are built. And so I'm excited. I'm like a kid in a candy store when it finally gets done.
Yeah, I do. Todd, one thing we do on the network, and I've done it on all my shows, is, you know, all of us on the phone tonight, very in-depth with NFL. You played at a high level in the NFL. Mike was a coach. I have followed football a long time. But what we like to do is we like to bring it down to the reality of the casual fan. So we're talking about a lot of great stuff today. If you're talking to a casual fan, Todd, somebody that just catches the game every once in a while, isn't really into it where they analyze it every day, why would this app to them, how would you tell them that this would benefit them and what the major thing is as to why this app is just going to be so wonderful? If you're talking to that casual fan and you want them to go take a look at it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So one of the reasons people watch the NFL draft is because, you know what, it's water cooler conversation the next week. On Monday, someone's going to bring it up, and frankly, it's like, you know what, a lot of people don't have the time to sit in front of the TV all weekend. It's a great luxury, but you got to take your kids to hockey practice or a game, or you're wind up going to some birthday party or who knows what, the honey-do list. It's you're lucky if you can walk past your TV, let alone sit in front of it. And so the ability to basically think of it as cliff notes. I mean, if your team's the Packers, I know you got a couple cheeseheads on the phone here.
I'm a 49ers
dad,
fan.
Yeah, don't say that, Matt. Don't freak out. So he lives in cheesehead land, but he's a 49er fan.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, actually, my dad, he lives in Northern California now, so he grew up as a cheesehead, but he, before it was a cheesehead, just a Packer fan, and now he's a 49er fan. He gets to see more games with the 49ers than the Packers. But anyways, I digress. So the ability to be able to use the app, to be able to, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole draft, but you know what, my favorite team, the Packers, drafted these seven guys. Well, what exactly, what's important about them? What's significant about them? Let me wind up doing some quick research. Takes 15 minutes on it Sunday night. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So, you know, when the water cooler conversation comes up, I mean, you're not just going to be listening with a water cup in your hand. You're going to be able to kind of press your friends and press your coworkers, be able to be a part of the conversation and maybe help lead it somewhere important.
Hey, real quick, we got like a minute left in the live show, then we go to archive time. Anybody that's listening right now, when the show's over, Troy, it should go shortly to where you can go to the podcast and hear the last 15 minutes. So make sure you get over there to listen to the rest of the interview there. But, Troy, were you the one that had a question?
Oh, no. I was saying that was great. You know, we always like to – you know, bring it down to that casual family, you know, when our listeners come in. But, definitely right, Mike. We're going into archive time. For those that are listening live, before we go there, go to the redlightsportsnetwork.com. It will be up, what time is it now? Midnight here. It'll be up by 12:30 as soon as the audio is processed. But, Todd, one last question about the app itself.
Yeah.
When you're using the app and you're going through, is there a sort of ability feature? You're talking about teams, so you're going to be able to sort this in all different ways as far as these are the top running backs, these are my teams. Is it have a very good sort feature so we can just go quickly to guys? Or how does that work if I've got it up on my phone?
So basically, if you, let's say the draft hasn't even started yet and you just want to dive into your NFL team's previous draft, you can wind up sorting by draft year, pulling up that information. You can sort by, you can filter by the college team. You can filter by the college position or pro position and be able to filter alphabetically by number of touchdowns, number of tackles. Basically, you name the stat, you can filter by that. You name the descriptor, you can, or dimension, you can filter by that. So the ability to quickly, if you don't really know who you're looking for, but you just want to browse offensive linemen or browse quarterbacks, you can do that. And then obviously if you're looking at the rookie class this year, you can wind up doing the same thing. And then obviously mapping those guys that, and once you've selected a guy and you want to be able to project forward on what, who he is most similar to that's currently in the NFL, that's just a push of a button.
That's great.
All right, we can transition now to your career. Matt, you got any questions for Todd?
Sure. What was it like for you? Actually, I want to ask that one a little bit. First one, who was the toughest guy you ever had to block?
Oh, that's an easy decision. Thank goodness I never had to play him in a game. John Randall from Minnesota Vikings. John was we used to call him a rolling bowl of butcher knives. I mean, just was absolutely a menace on practice field just as much as he was on the game day field. But I will say that, no, he made me better. When I had to go against him, Sunday was easy compared to the Wednesday, Thursday where I'm facing John in practice. So 98 season was probably my best year as a pro. I think I gave up a half a sack, and that was the year because of injuries. John played most of the season at right end, and so I got to face him every day in practice. And he made me better, and he knew every little tell and every little cheat that I had. So if I ever did have to face him, he probably would have ate my lunch. So I'm glad to say that we never had to do that, or I never had to do that.
He was an amazing player.
Yeah, no, he'd, and the thing about John is that, one, he's an absolute, he's a nut, I mean, in a good way, but he's an absolute nut. He's just, he's constant entertainment, just a joy in the locker room, but a little bizarre at times, like people who've ever watched NFL films, he likes to talk, and he'll talk till he's blue in the face, but he had amazing technique, incredible hands, that, and he wasn't a tall guy. He was only about 6'2", but 285, 290, but played with amazing leverage. And most people don't realize he was an undrafted free agent out of Texas A&I, if I remember right, and really just a very amazing background, too. I mean, he grew up on a rural farm in the middle of nowhere. I forget the name of the town, but it had no stoplights. There was one stop sign. And literally in Prairie something, Texas, he lived in a house with a dirt floor. I mean, you'd think that it's kind of surreal because, I mean, in the 20th century that still occurs, but it does. I mean, you know, he came, grew up very poor. When he started playing, he saw a video somewhere, I think it was like Keith Millard was working the bag drill, and John did his college that couldn't afford those kind of pads, so he wound up somehow finding some old mattresses at like a salvage yard or something, and he used basically like baling wire, and he wrapped trees with these old mattresses, and he used to go through the small little orchard of trees working the bags, and the guy truly, I've never seen someone work so hard as John. He was the definition of a self-made man.
Okay, I got a question. Basically, player safety. The NFL is always talking with their concussion protocol and all that stuff that they do there, but yet they play games on a Thursday night after a Sunday. Can you explain to everybody how that affects your body? I know that you played when you were in Minnesota in some Thursday games on Thanksgiving, but now it's something it seems like they do weekly.
Yeah, it's tough. I wouldn't want to do that multiple times in a year. I know some teams do. It feels kind of like a mini bye week after you get after the Thursday night game, but gosh, it's tough. I mean, it's tough from a preparation standpoint. I don't think you're really getting either team at their fully prepared prime. Guys that are injured have virtually no chance of getting back from it, but even a guy that's not injured is still hurt between weeks, it's especially late in the season. And when you wind up having a Sunday to Thursday game, you basically, Sunday you come right in and there is no day off. So you go on a Monday and you have the film study that would normally be on a Wednesday, and then you have on Tuesday, it turns into a Friday. It's an abbreviated day, but so you've basically condensed the preparation time for like installing the playbook and stuff down by, you're maybe doing 25% or 20% of what you would normally do. And practice reps get probably cut down to where you're doing about 10% of it. And so just from a preparation standpoint, it's like speed reading and then some. But then from a physical standpoint, you're basically playing a game when in a normal week you might be normally having your first padded practice if you're even in pads at that point. And so there's no way you're going to, that MCL sprain that you maybe had the week before, if it's getting any better, it's probably going to get worse. And let alone a concussion issue. I mean, if you're trying to get back from a concussion from a Sunday to Thursday, you're putting your life in your own hands.
Yeah. And Troy, you got any questions?
Oh, of course. You know, I always got questions.
Yeah, I know. That's why I asked. I just wanted to make sure you weren't on mute.
I will say one more thing about Thursday games, though. You have the NFL makes a lot of money on Thursday games. It's one of their big ticket items over the last couple of years. And so while the players might gripe about how their bodies feel, they don't mind the bump up in the overall salary pool associated with those games.
Yeah, that's true. Go ahead, Troy.
Hey Todd, I want to get your thoughts on the games being played overseas, and you know, there's talk about, you know, possibly expanding the NFL to, you know, maybe possibly someday having a team over in London or and I call it across the pond. I'm a soccer guy, no coach. You don't agree with me there, Coach. But
it should be outlawed.
I was never big like Todd to be able to play in the NFL. So, you know, when you're 5'8" and a 160, you got to do something else. And so I kicked the ball with my foot.
Point taken.
But Todd, what are your thoughts on the NFL possible expansion? I know last year on the Ramble we had Brady Papinga and we got his thoughts on this. So I'd like to really get your thoughts on NFL, you know, possibly expanding over to Europe, and you know, what are your thoughts on the games that are being played over there during the regular season?
Well, I mean, it's neat to see that they're being so well received. I mean, the last couple of years, especially in Wembley and London, they've been selling out like in a day and a couple of hours. So there's definitely a demand. It's still probably a little bit of a leap to say that there's a market there for 8 games a year, but they've slowly expanded the offering from one game to, I think they're up to, what, 4 now? And they're continuing to be well-received. The NFL, they're always cautious, but at the same time, there's such a market potential there. Let's just throw a number out. If there was eventually going to be an expansion team in L.A., that market probably would command $1.5 billion expansion agreement for a franchise like whatever ownership group would have to pay $1.5 billion divided 32 ways for the ownership. Well, I would say London might be a $2 billion market just because the NFL would basically say we're going to agree for 10 years not to expand another team in the Europe area, so you have an exclusive rights to the entire Europe market. Now, that being said, there's a huge logistical nightmare from being able to figure out a way to hold the team there. Do you wind up having the London, whoever, let's say the Monarchs, I think was what the name was in the World League, you know, the London Monarchs come over for a four-game stretch on the West Coast or something? How do you pull that off? That's not easy. It's you might have to dust the Concorde jet out of mothballs, possibly.
Yeah, well, I think, Todd, you hit it on the head, though. I mean, when they go play over there, the NFL is a worldwide entity, and, people love it. And, they're going to pay to watch it play. My last question here, and I'll turn it back over to Coach as we're going to be nearing the end of the show. As a player going over to play there, what special preparations do you have to make going on a long trip like that? Did you ever get a chance to play over there?
Not over there, but my rookie year, we went to Tokyo, and we played against the Kansas Schottenheimer's Chiefs. And somehow Denny Green and Shoddy decided that they were going to scrimmage every day. And so we wound up having 6 days of scrimmage before we had our first game. And it was, by the way, the worst heat wave in Japanese recorded history going back 110 years. So we had that going for us. And I don't know, your listeners might not know this, but Schottenheimer is known for having one of the hardest training camps in the last, like in the modern era. He was a grinder. And it was brutally hot and awful. And there's very few fond memories I had of that. But that being said, it was interesting from the flight standpoint. I mean, 12-hour flight from Minneapolis, and get off, and I think it's the middle of the night, and it's the middle of the day, and the fans there definitely weren't as knowledgeable as the fans in London. Watching some of those games in London, they seem like they know what's going on. You'd have you'd be on the line of scrimmage, and Warren Moon was my quarterback, and he's like barking calls, and all of a sudden the fans start going crazy. You're like, is there another game on the other side of the field and someone just scored a touchdown? And they're shooting like t-shirts into the stands, and the fans are just going crazy for these stupid t-shirts. And it's like, are they even watching us play out here? It just was very kind of haphazard, but comical at the same time.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left, so go ahead and give everybody the information on your app, where to find it, where to follow you on Twitter, if you want to go ahead and give us that info again so everybody's got it.
Well, I thank you again, and I'd be happy to come on again when we launch the app just to talk about it one more time, because it would be cool to get you guys to actually play with it before we talked about it. But the landing page where you can sign up and be notified when the app goes live is www.scoutsiteapp.com, and follow me on Todd Stussy on Twitter. That's the best way. I'll be pushing out a lot of information about the app and about what we're doing. And I appreciate the time, guys. Thank you again, and I hope we can do this again soon.
Yeah, maybe we can go ahead and have a little draft preview show with your app in April when you launch that.
I would love to.
I'd like
to
thank Troy for coming in tonight. Thank Matt. Next week, our guest will be LaVon Kirkland, former Pittsburgh Steeler. We will see you then. Thanks, guys.